Celebrating over 25 years of ministry service, this is the Ministry of Marriage on HerFaithRadio.com with Shelley Frelo, author, speaker, founder, and president of HerFaithVillage.com Ministries, a multifaceted ministry for women and youth.
For today's podcast, we'll be discussing Her King, His Queen. You know, it's always remarkable to me how when I'm asked to intervene into a troubled marriage, how often the two parties involved never stop to think that the requirements that God has laid out in His Word of how we're to treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and as human beings applies to the husband and wife relationships. They often look at themselves and say, well, that just applies to people in general, but not my wife or not my husband. But the truth is, all of those requirements of how God expects us to treat other people and our brothers and sisters in Christ also apply to how we're to treat each other as husband and wife. Now, granted, there are some requirements that are specifically made for the husband and wife. But in general, the rule of thumb is, if I'm to be loving to people outside of my family, surely God expects me to be loving to those that are related to me. Case in point, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Here's my question. When was the last time you encouraged your husband? God encourages us. He commands us to encourage one another, to be loving to one another, to edify the body of Christ. How are Christian women supposed to be treating their husbands? Here's the deal, ladies. Every man wants to be made to feel like a king, especially in his own home. Encouragement, words of affirmation, are all ways that we as women offer acceptance of Him as leader, as head, as king of our marriages. Let's look at Proverbs 12:4. It says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in the bones. A crown is to be worn on the head for everyone to see. A crown is usually full of jewels and gold and precious gems. God is referring to the wife that is walking in her role as helpmate as a crown for her husband's head. But He also, in the latter part of that verse, explains what happens when a woman doesn't recognize her role as helpmate. He says that she's like rotten bones. Now, if you've ever smelled spoiled meat, you can tell that that is not a scent that you want around you for very long. And yet, many of us as women fill our husband's nose with rotten meat. In the way that we speak to him, in the way that we interact with him, in the way that we treat him, in the way that we honor him. It's important that as we are working to live a godly life, that encouragement of all people, including our husbands, are something that we strive for. So encouragement is essential in building the marriage relationship. We want to be that crown, that jewel of his heart. For my single sisters, this is why it's important that you realize that the rules of marriage are not conditioned upon whether or not you have a good husband, a loyal husband, a Christian husband, a good-looking husband, a fine husband. The fact that you said I do means that all the rules that God has put in place for the Christian wife applies. 1 Peter 3:5-6 says, For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, this act of submission is usually met by other women with complete rejection and even sometimes hostility. Here's what few women know about godly submission. Godly submission is submitting by choice, to be in the position that God has ordained us to be in. You see, many times in my marriage, I can look at something and know that it's going to come out wrong, or this isn't the best deal for us, or maybe we should go in a different direction. But my job as helpmate is to bring that to my husband's attention. My job as helpmate is not to make the decision for him. My job as helpmate is to help influence him for the better of our family. My job is not to manipulate him into doing things my way. You see, submission is a ministry within itself. It's the ministry of allowing God to take charge and us to take a step back. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down." It means that the woman that is willfully submitting to her husband, willfully walking in the role of helpmate, willfully seeking God on how to take on the responsibilities that God has called her to, is building her house. Yet the woman who fights God, who resists her role, who says, "Not me, I will be no one's doormat," this is the woman that is tearing down her home with her own hands. Ephesians 5:22 states, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and his himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." My single sisters, this is why it's so important that you are careful who you hitch your wagon to. Because let me be real, if that brother is going over the cliff and you're attached, guess who goes over the cliff right behind him? So the time to be looking at what kind of man you have is before you say "I do." For my Christian sisters that are married, God is letting us know that He acknowledges the woman who is submissive to her husband. And submission is not that I'm being abused or allow my husband to beat on me or be emotionally or mentally abusive. Submission means that I am recognizing that he's the head of the household. I am recognizing that he is the head of our relationship. That I am working to walk beside him and help him accomplish the goals that he has set for our families. For those of us who are married to men that don't know the Lord or maybe are a bit immature, this is where prayer, constant and continuous prayer for our husband, comes into play. Because his role as headship, his role as leader, does not diminish because of his character or the fact that he's unsaved. His role stays the same. So it's up to us to pray for him and ask the Lord to lead him and work through him. It's important that we as Christian women understand the power of a praying wife. I can say myself that I have seen God do many wonderful and glorious things in my marriage. My husband and I have started to pray together every night. That's not something that I've done. It's nothing that he's done. That's through God working in an unevenly yoked relationship, even though God is still at work. His mercy and his love is still at work. When we looked at Ephesians 5:22, we saw that God referred to the marriage as the church. He refers to it as, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord." Submission is a ministry of sort, because I'm not submitting just to my husband. I am submitting to the Lord for godly blessings of that submission. If you will remember, when we read earlier in 1 Peter 3:5-6, God acknowledged Sarah because of her submission to Abraham. Now, for those sisters who may not be familiar with that history, when Abraham told Sarah to pretend to be his sister, when Abraham told Sarah what to do, guess what, ladies? She did it. The word doesn't say whether she agreed, whether she thought it was dumb, whether she had something better to do. It says that she obeyed. And then we see the truth that God is looking. And he is saying, this is what a godly woman looks like. Because I have set up marriage to be a reflection of the church, she is walking in the calling to which I have called her to. Treating our husbands as king is not any diminishment of who I am as a woman, but instead, it is acknowledging who God is as my Savior. My Christian sisters that are unmarried, we want to be careful as you seek God's guidance for the man that he has called to be a part of your life, that we understand what kind of man we should be looking for. And for that, we're going to go to Colossians 3:19. It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. It's important that we recognize that God has a calling on the husband as well as the wife. He wants our husbands to lead well, to treat us with the love, honor, and cherishment that he gives to the church. God laid down his life for the church. He can't expect anything less from a husband who is representing his headship as the leader of the church. In Ephesians 5:25-33, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church of himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. Ladies, listen. When you are searching for a husband, you want a husband who knows your worth, who knows that you are so valuable that the Lord God himself came in human form to die for you, to give up his life for you, to accept all that he accepted just for you. You want a husband that understands his role as leader. The word is telling us that he sanctified her. He made her holy. So why would we accept a husband that calls us out of our name, or a man who would abuse us? My single sisters, you want a man who treats you as Christ himself treats the church, with respect and love. It says to present the church to himself in splendor. That means in all of its beauty. You want a man who recognizes that. It says without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. You want to find a husband that God has sent to you, that loves you as much as he loves himself, that he's willing to sacrifice for you, willing to protect you, willing to cherish you, willing to hold you and nourish you. You want a husband who knows his role and how to walk in it securely and confidently. We want a husband that loves God as Christ loves God, who obeys God as Christ obeys God, who accepts his role and his calling to be the husband that God has called him to be with the seriousness, the purpose, the zeal, focus that Christ had when he gave his life for the church. It's important, ladies, my single sisters, we accept and embrace Ephesians 5:25 through 33, because this is what a godly husband looks like. For my married sisters, when we are praying for our husbands to be the man that God has called him to be, this Ephesians 5:25 through 33, this is what we're praying for. Loving our husbands is more than just saying, I do. It is treating them like the king that God designed them to be in our homes, whether they deserve it, whether they appreciate it, whether they know it or not. For our glory comes from God, not from our husbands. Remember Sister Sarah, God acknowledged her because of her obedience, because of her walking in the calling of helpmate that God called her to. Yes, this is truly a profound mystery, because it means that as we walk in our singleness to find the man that God has led us to, we have to understand that the courtship period, the period of dating, is our time to allow God to reveal his will through the character and person of the husband that is standing before us. We want to be awake. We want to be cautious. We want to test every spirit that is walking before us in the person of this man. Does he live up to Ephesians 5:25 through 33? Can we see how he reflects Christ's love for the church? Is he treating me with honor and respect? Is he understanding my worth? 1 Peter 5:1-3 says, so I exhort the elders among you, as the fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partakers in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Guess what, ladies? We're the flock. And our husbands are the elders. God is telling him, treat your wives with love and tenderness. He's saying to them, you don't want to treat your woman with disregard or shameful intent. And what is more shameful than a man that is willing to lie with you but is not willing to make a commitment to you? What is more shameful than a man that is willing to degrade and dishonor you with his words? What is more shameful, more domineering than a man that has to make himself look better by tearing you down? So as you make your way through your journey of singleness, remember, we have to ask ourselves, does he live up to Ephesians 5:25, 33, and 1 Peter 5:1-3? My sisters, both married and single, we want to be women of discernment, women that understand that we have to allow God to speak to our hearts. Remember, we are emotional creatures, and we tend to walk in our emotions. So it's imperative that we allow God to taper our emotions, to to give us clarity, to show us how to walk in His ways, to allow us to be the women, the wives, that He has called us to be in Him. Here's the question, ladies. Are you treating your husband as your king? My single sisters, are your expectations the expectations for a king? Or through our actions, have we said, the peasant will do?
We're so happy you tuned in today. Please join Shelley next week for another insightful episode of the Ministry of Marriage podcast on HerFaithRadio.com. If you would like to be a featured podcaster on HerFaithRadio.com, contact us at podcast@HerFaithRadio.com. Thank you for listening.